memory serves, we were driving past those Tidal Flats and Snoopy's Aerial Doghouse on Interstate 80. It was an afternoon a couple years ago, and this was when I first heard some late-breaking news of a daring rescue. Hearing the news in and of itself was unexpected. We were listening to a Bay Area radio station that plays music, but the DJ came on air to share that a pint-sized Cape Crusader had just left AT&T Park in San Francisco and was making his way up Market Street in the Batmobile to City Hall to meet with Mayor Ed Lee. I didn't think I heard it right. Was this some kind of a joke? Was this like an elaborate hoax? So we turned to other radio stations, and we heard similar reports of this new superhero, Bat Kid, who had saved the Giants mascot, Lucille, had then arrested the Penguin, and the Penguin was now being brought up on charges of racketeering the baseball season, kidnapping, overall maliciousness, and bad body odor. Clearly, this was not an ordinary Friday in the city by the bay. So in time, more of the story came to light. Not only had Bat Kid saved Lucille, but also with the assistance of Batman, had helped the San Francisco, that is, Gotham City Police Department, save a damsel in distress at the Hyde Street cable car tracks, and in the process had nabbed the Riddler as well. Okay, so that was more of what was happening, but why was this happening? The next day's front page would tell the rest of the story. This is the San Francisco Chronicle of Saturday, November 16, 2013. And the front page, you can read, "Our hero, Bat Kid knocks out San Francisco, captures hearts around the globe." Now, that was good, but this page, I think, was even better. The Gotham City Chronicle. Bat Kid saves city. Hooded hero nabs Riddler, rescues damsel in distress. Byline by Clark Kent. Then Penguin can't hide from the Bat Kid by Lois Lane. Cape Crusader crushes crime by Brenda Starr. But it's this last one that really tells the story, which is Bat Kid's secret revealed at last by Perry White. And so it turns out that Bat Kid, the fearless Cape Crusader that Friday, was actually Miles Scott, a five-year-old from Tule Lake in far northern California who had been living with acute lymphoblastic leukemia since he was about 20 months old. And the event was an incredibly elaborate gift orchestrated by the Make-A-Wish Foundation, the organization that arranges trips and meetups with celebrities for children that have life threatening diseases. Now, they had never before attempted a gift like this, and they were hoping for just a few hundred volunteers to show up to cheer on Bat Kid. Before the event, more than 12,000 people signed up, and as they reached out, the scale of this offering began to grow. Police Chief Greg Suhr stepped in as Commissioner Gordon. The offices of the U.S. Attorney and the FBI joined in. The day ended with thousands and thousands of people in the plaza in front of City Hall, where Mayor Lee presented Miles, that is Bat Kid, with a chocolate key to the city. If you were living in the Bay Area that weekend, it was hard to miss the event. But forget about the Bay Area, though, because we actually reached the White House, where the President of the United States, Barack Obama, tweeted a video saying, "Way to go, Miles, way to save Gotham." It was unbelievable. And for some, it was hard to believe. There are real, enduring problems in the city of San Francisco. All of this time and attention and money, all for one child? San Francisco Supervisor Eric Marra was not alone in his feelings when he shared on Instagram that afternoon, "Waiting for Miles, the Bat Kid, and wondering how many thousands of San Francisco kids living off of SNAP food stamps could have been fed from the money." what's a Cape Crusader defending the poor and the outcast supposed to do? How do you determine how much an act of love is worth? In our gospel for this Sunday, as we approach the mystery of Easter, Judas has a couple answers for us. One is very quantifiable, 300 denarii, the cost of this powerfully fragrant oil that Mary bathes Jesus' feet with. Now, 300 denarii, this is no insignificant sum. It was roughly a year's wages. So maybe a more important question is, how do you determine if a gift is too much? All that cost for a gesture that will end when the scent leaves the room? This seems to be where Judas is headed, because he goes on to say that the money used for this ointment could have been used for the poor. Which, of course, it could have, and could have done a great deal of good. In naming a quantifiable amount for this act of love, 300 denarii, a year's wages, money given to the poor, Judas is giving one answer for what an act of love is worth. But maybe it's actually an implicit question that Judas is asking in our passage. A question that also has to do with the amount of the gift being offered. Could this ever be worth it? It's almost as if, because of the extravagance of the act, the ridiculous proportion of the gesture, that in the process the gift becomes almost worthless. By being so lavish, it loses value. And so, because of this gift of prodigal proportions, Judas scorns it. But this may not be the only reason that Judas dismisses Mary's offering. He also may be rejecting it because of what is really being offered. Yes, the ointment was costly, but not nearly as costly as the attention, the profuse love, the intimate giving of self that Mary was pouring into Jesus. This is what Judas doesn't get. Or maybe he gets it and is frightened to know what this cost is. He's not alone. To give like this demands a recognition of the other. Whoever the other is, the person in front of you. It demands a willingness to give up control, to give yourself fully to the other, and then the capacity to receive them in return. Homeboy Industries is a baking and catering service / silkscreen outfit / tattoo removal shop. Tattoo removal's, you know, a big thing these days. Generation X and millennials, just watch out. / legal assistance office / job placement center / extended family in downtown Los Angeles. Now, you may have heard of them, as Homeboy Industries is seen worldwide as one of the most comprehensive and successful organizations in helping those who have been previously incarcerated, in their words, envision an exit ramp off the freeway of violence, addiction, and incarceration. Or it may be that you've come across their book called Tattoos on the Heart, written by a founder of the program, the Jesuit Father Greg Boyle. Or it might be that you've heard about the way they approach their work, which is to help gang-involved men and women transform their pain rather than transmit it. So I was wondering about our gospel passage this past week when I read an interview with Greg Boyle that gets to the heart of our teaching from Mary and Jesus, and I believe it to be essential to what we're exploring today. Here's what Greg Boyle offers. ministry is not meant to be like a gas tank, where you begin the day with a full tank, and by the end of the day, your tank is on E. Something's wrong if that's the way it works. If the intent is to save people, or even to help people, then if it works that way, you're allowing yourself to be depleted. But if the task is allowing yourself to be reached by people, can you receive people? Can you be anchored in the here and now and practice the sacrament of the present moment? Then it's different. If you can do that, then it's all delight and it's all amazement and it's all awe. We're only saved in the present moment. If we're not saved in the present moment, we're not saved at all. For me, Greg Boyle says, it's never about depletion. It used to be when I used to think my job was saving lives. But now I think saving lives is for the Coast Guard. Our choice is always the same. Save the world or savor it. And I vote for savoring it. And because everything is about something else, if you savor the world, somehow, go figure, it's getting saved. Practice the sacrament of the present moment. Save the world or savor it. Now, I understand where Supervisor Eric Marr and many others were coming from. Even if the city of San Francisco didn't have to use those extra resources for Miles Scott's Make-A-Wish, there were still scores of work hours that were devoted to that gift. Right? There was people's time. There was a black Batmobile Lamborghini that could have been doing something very useful. There is the one-page edition of the Gotham City Chronicle. There was the tens of thousands of people that came out to cheer, and hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of others who followed along. It was undeniably extravagant. And somehow that was the point. And I think that actually is what drew people in. They wanted to be able to connect with this generous, generative gift. So that might be it with this ridiculously expensive Nard or the APBs about the Penguin and the Riddler. In this case, it was about letting this five-year-old know that despite the pain and the treatments and the isolation, that he was loved. That he mattered. And then here's the righteous challenge. Because it can't just be about the warm and fuzzy. It can't stop there. It can't just be about a sick kindergartner. It's also about the five-year-olds who are in San Francisco and Richmond and Antioch who aren't sure if they're going to get enough food. Get them through the day. And it's about that estranged relative that you and I might have that has ground down our last nerve and they're still hurting. And it's about the trans youth who has been ostracized for coming to know who they are. And it's about the incarcerated men and women who are looking, yearning for another way to live. About being present with those who have been left behind or feel as if they have been thrown away. It's about being with them in real relationship. Mary and Miles, they show us the way. If we are willing to savor, and I know that you and I are able, if we are willing to encounter our lives in the biggest way, our communal responsibilities for housing for all, for respite for the refugees, if we're willing to encounter our everyday relationships, those momentary interactions, all of it, as sacraments of the present moment, I want you to imagine. Imagine if we savored this world like Mary savored Jesus, like many people savored Miles Scott, like Greg Boyle savors the homeboys and homegirls of Los Angeles. If we were able to do this, the world would be changed, because then it's not about service for, but it's about savoring with. Friends, this is the part that I think really scares us. Right? The part that Judas was fearing the cost. The part that, when we're honest, often has us just shy away. Because what Mary shows us this morning is that when we choose